Debbie, how about you lead us in prayer this morning?
Lord, we just thank you, thank you, thank you for all that you are doing. Lord Jesus, we look with the eyes of the Spirit. We see your hand in everything. Father, you are in control of this world and its inhabitants and everything in it, Father. And we just thank you for your mercy and grace that you show to men. Father, we thank you for this class and for all it means to us. And Lord Jesus, just let us drink in what you have for us, Father.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
I don't think this is complete.
Me too.
Well, today we will be in Psalm 84.
According to this.
Debbie, you want to start off and read the first couple of verses?
Sure. To the chief musician upon Gittith, a song for the sons of Korah. How amiable are their tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out to the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself where she may lay her young, even thy altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God.
You know, I've got a New English version, English Standard Version here, and it says, how lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, faints, even for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy. And it, joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home and the swallow's nest for herself, where she may lay her young at your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. That's out of that English Standard Version. And you know, to be honest with you, what he said, the way this says it here, how amiable, you know, and it's a truer translation in the English Standard Version because it says, how lovely is your dwelling place. And, you know, if you take a look at that first word there, that word's translated as amiable in the King James. Like this definition. It says loved, amiable, well beloved ones. I like that. Because we know that when he's saying how lovely is your dwelling place, you know, we know where his dwelling place is now. We know he doesn't dwell in temples made with men's hands, but that know you not that you're the temple of God. So, you know, I like that that word actually also means well-beloved ones, you know. that actually brings it into a little different dimension there, you know, rather than just a building, you know. You know, and how lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, even faints, and, you know, Psalm 8:1 says, O Lord our God, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Sing aloud unto God our strength, make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. You know. Computers. And it goes on in verse 2, it says, my soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. You know, we know that Scripture tells us we're to enter his courts with thanksgiving in our heart, where it enters courts with praise, you know. And we know that the courts of the Lord is really, it's an inward thing. It's not an outward thing, you know. It's a people. And you know, when we look at all these Old Testament things, they sort of knew that, but they didn't sort of know it, too. There were some of them that had enough insight to realize that, and then most of the time they were looking at a natural physical thing in most instances. But we can look at that and know that they were being inspired by the Holy Spirit, and they were saying things that for us has an entirely different meaning than what it maybe did for them, you know.
Even the prophets had said long to look into those things.
Yeah, they knew there was more to it, but they didn't know exactly what it was at times. Yeah.
They didn't know the depth. They wanted to look into it.
Yeah.
They couldn't look into them.
Yeah.
One of the definitions I have on here for courts is a settled abode, and I like that. The settled abode of the Lord.
Well, when we realize that really, when we come to realize that we're the temple of God, he said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. And he is a settled abode inside of us, you know. And we can have that assurance that God's always with us no matter what or what's going on. And, you know, have that confidence, you know. But I actually like this translation because it's pretty good, because it's it actually gives an almost more truer meaning to the words than the King James does, you know.
Yeah.
And I've been looking at it a lot lately, and this particular one I have here even has the Strong's numbers right beside the word. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the word, it's actually pretty dead on whatever they translated it as, you know. But, you know, the Amplified Bible says, how lovely are your tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul yearns, even pines, and is homesick for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out and sing for joy to the living God. Yes, the sparrow has found a house, and the swallow a nest for himself, where she may lay her young, even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. And you know, I think a lot of times when we realize that the Psalms were really prophetic songs, you know, and it's no different than what God gives you. God gives you poems today, you know, spiritual poems. They're actually prophetic, you know. And the actual word for prophet, if you look it up, it also has the meaning of a poet, you know. Because what a prophet does is a prophet brings things into harmony with God, you know, and that's the whole purpose of prophetic word, is to bring things in harmony with God. And I love the Psalms. I think you can get more comfort and more even spiritual insight from them than just about anything in the Bible, you know, because they're just so filled with tremendous prophetic truths, you know. And especially when God gives you eyes to really see what's really being said, you know. Because he was actually sending, I think, a love letter almost in song to his people, you know. And, you know, I actually have to smile sometimes, because I listen to even worldly musicians out there, and half of the time, their lyrics, if you listen to them, are spiritual lyrics. I don't know if they realize it when they write them. I'm not sure that they really do realize it. But they're actually, a lot of them are very, very spiritual. What was that one that you used to sing, Jim, that you sang out in church?
On a clear day.
On a clear day, yeah.
You can see, Lord's day, rise.
And you can see forever, you know, and I think.
Johnny Nash, I can see clearly now, the rain has come.
I can
see all obstacles
in my way. Yeah, I mean, it's amazing.
Bright, sunshiny day.
Yeah, it's amazing when you realize how much God has really inspired music and musical things, and even the understanding of those things, you know.
Well, even when that one guy was writing that song, I am the music and I write the songs, I was hearing the Holy Spirit saying, I am the music and I write the songs. I don't know if he knew that it was the Holy Ghost in him that was actually giving him the lyrics and the words to that song. But by the Spirit, that's why I was hearing the Holy Ghost sing right out of that guy.
Yeah, and there's just so many of them. There's so many of them. Like I say, even the worldly songs, if you listen to them, that really God has inspired them. I mean, they're tremendous, you know.
Well, usually at the right time, you know, you'll just be flipping through the channels, getting somewhere, and all of a sudden something will hit.
Yeah.
And you'll be like, okay, well, why am I listening to this? And all of a sudden, boom.
Well, see, even the people of the world that claim to not know the Lord, those words are sinking down inside
minister,
of them.
The minister.
Yeah.
And he's making a fertile ground there, really, when you get down to it, that he's going to minister his word of truth and his word of life to them.
Anybody? One way or the other, even though you may do bed in hell, he'll be there.
Yeah, well, behold, I'm there.
Yeah. He may come through his music when you're down at that hellish place, but
that's right.
He'll get to you.
Well, they talk about the hidden things of God. Sometimes they're right within you and they're hidden from you.
Mm-hmm. You know, I like what it says in Psalm 42:1. It says, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O Lord. And, you know, whether people really realize it or not, what the actual hunger and everything that they have inside, there's only one thing that can fulfill that hunger and that desire and even that thirst that they have, and that's the Lord. And they look for it everywhere else, and they try to find it everywhere else, and they don't find it everywhere else, no matter what they do, you know. And I was looking at Psalm 27:4. It says, one thing have I desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Well, when you realize that we're the temple of God, so where do you do your inquiries at? You have to do your inquiries. You have to go within and say, okay, Lord, I'm going to sit before you in your temple, and I'm going to inquire of you, what would you have me do? What are you trying to show me? What do you want me to learn today? You know, and I think when we do that, then we find that, you know, God will open up truth to us that's so beyond what religious rhetoric out there is, you know, because there's a lot of that going on, you know. And a lot of those things are just traditions of the elders, which have made the Word of God of no effect, you know. Psalm 43:3 says, oh, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me into thy holy hill, to thy tabernacles, you know. And you know, if you go back in the Old Testament, I mean in the New Testament, in the Gospel of John, and you read what it said, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among them. That word for dwelt there is the word tabernacle. The word tabernacle amongst them. And that was Jesus, you know. And you know, the thing about a tabernacle is it's not a temporary dwelling place, you know. And a temple is a permanent place, you know. And the thing is that he tabernacles amongst us when we first get saved, but he's turning us into a temple. He's turning us into lively stones built together for habitation of God through the Spirit. And, you know, that's why a lot of times in your life you wonder, well, why do you go through this and why do you go through that? You know, why do you have to learn all the things that you have to learn through life? And what he's really doing is he's chipping away at the stone so that when he puts it together with the other lively stones, they're going to fit and make a holy temple that will fill all the earth, you know. And, you know, I think a lot of times we tend to question at times. You know, we watched that movie last night. That was a really good movie. You guys got to see it. It was really good.
The Miracle One.
We saw it.
Really good. Really good. And, you know, they were questioning God because their daughter had this things where her intestines and stuff were all twisted up, and her brain wasn't communicating with her insides that much. And she was having tremendous pains, and her stomach swelled out real big and all this and that. And, you know, the mother kind of lost faith, you know. And the father, he still had faith, but, you know, but the mother kind of lost faith. And anyway, they took the little girl to the most foremost medical doctor around that dealt with that kind of thing. But almost everybody that had that died eventually. They didn't live very long. And
this is a true story.
True story, yes. Yeah. The little girl was out with her sister one day, and she climbed up. They climbed up this big tree, and she fell down inside of the tree. It was hollowed out. It was all rotten. And she fell 30 feet and landed on her head.
It cured her.
It cured her.
That fall cured
her. Yeah. And I was thinking, when I was looking at that tree, I said, you know, that was really the tree of life.
Yes.
That was really the tree of life. And I was thinking, you know, so many times, and even the question came up, you know, why was she healed and other people aren't, you know? And, you know, this might go along with what you shared today, I don't know, but, you know, so many times you question that. You say, God, how come this one was healed and that one wasn't, and so on and so forth. And, you know, I don't know the answer for that all the time. And it's not always because of unbelief, but I believe sometimes it is. And, but yet, you know, here this little girl, she was totally cured. And they just could not explain that. They didn't know what to say, you know. And her stomach went back down. She could digest food. She could do everything. She wasn't crippled or nothing. I mean, it was...
I think she was cured just to help that church, because there was doubt. The doubting...
All that church.
The girl actually just came out and said it, and I'm thinking... Maybe it's because of your sin or something like that.
Yeah, that's what
they maybe were. It was supposed to help the church
and
help the church believe
right.
in God and
right.
Christ. And
that girl's still alive. She's still alive.
They actually showed the people.
Yeah.
They showed the real people.
Yeah. Marge and I went and saw that.
Yeah.
That was good.
Really a good movie. Yeah. It was really good. But you know, so many times we do question things and we wonder, Lord, you know. Why do we go through certain things, and why do all these particular things happen in our life? And I believe he uses all those things to chip away at our nature, our character, to cause us to trust him, regardless of what things look like, you know. And, you know, if you even look at what Jesus said a couple different times, he said, they talked about it, he healed them all, and in other places it said, basically that, you know, because of their unbelief, many things weren't done there, you know. So there's a definite coordination of that, you know. But when we realize that we are his courts, we are his temple, we are all of these things, and, you know, it makes the scriptures a lot simpler when you read them if you break it down to what he's really talking about in these things, you know. Other than natural things, you know. I mean, even what it said there about the sparrows finding, you know, finding a place to nest or whatever in his dwelling place or whatever. You know, I remember a preacher telling a story years ago about, you know, that he had a certain brother that always met his financial needs when he had financial needs, you know. And he lived out in the country, and he described where he lived and all this, and it was almost exactly where my Uncle Fred used to live. I used to go and spend some summers up there. I mean, when he described it, I could just see the farm, and I could just see the roads and everything else, because it was almost dead on it. Because, you know, he lived back this lane, and you went back another gravel lane, and, you know, back pretty far, and then you'd come out, and you come out to two lanes, and then you cross over the railroad tracks, and then you go out a little farther, and then there was the road, you know. And, as the guy was describing it, he basically, you know, sounded just like what my uncle, place where my uncle lived. But he talked about how that, you know, whenever he got in financial need, he'd always pray and ask the Lord, have brother so-and-so send me some money. And he said, it would happen a lot of times, you know. And he said, he got low on finances, and he said he prayed that. And he said he was going into his post office box to check and see if, you know, if any money had come. And he said he drove out to the main, he describes going out those lanes and everything. And like I say, it just sounded just like where my Uncle Fred used to live. And he said he got out to the main road, and he said, and the Lord and the Holy Spirit told him, now just watch. And he said that he looked around and said, well, Lord, I don't see anything. He said, the Holy Spirit said, just watch. And he said, he sat there, and he said, a few minutes later, he saw this tractor coming down the road real slow. He said, behind the tractor was a wagon, and it had corn up on the wagon. And he said, it drove on past the road. And he said, Lord, I still don't see anything. He said, the Lord told him, just watch. And he said, it went on down the road, and he said, and after it got past him, a couple of ears of corn fell off on the road, and the tractor drove on down the road. He said, Lord, I still don't see anything. And he said, just watch. And he said, a few minutes later, a car come by and picked that corn and scattered it all over the road. And he said, I told the Lord again, Lord, I still don't see anything. And the Lord said, just watch. And he said, and a few minutes later, the birds flew in and landed on the road and started eating the corn. He said, then the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, you see how I love the birds? He said, I'm your source, my brother so-and-so. And he said, I went in to the post office box. I went on in there, and he said, there was money in there, but it wasn't from brother so-and-so. God had sent it from somebody else. You know, but the neat thing about it is that, you know, when we realize that God's in control, he's got all this stuff, he knows exactly what he's doing. And so many times, if we only, even in situations where we don't understand it and it doesn't make sense to us, if we could only see further down the road and look back on it, we could see exactly what he was doing, you know. And sometimes it's tough to do that. But I like that in 43:3 it says, send out thy light and thy truth, and let them lead me, let them bring me into thy holy hill and to thy tabernacle. And you know, when we come to realize that God wants to tabernacle with us, he's building us into a temple. We're becoming a holy temple that is going to fill all the earth, then we can have the assurance that no matter what's going on, that presence of God is not going to go away. It's going to abide there forever. You know. Okay, I'm going to be quiet. You make anything you want to say out of the first three verses?
I like the in Song of Solomon, the second chapter, it talks about the first scripture you just read was about how lovely is your tabernacle and all that, which you explained that's what it is. But then, the voice of my beloved, behold, he comes leaping on the mountain, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a gazelle or a young stag. Behold, he stands behind our wall. He is looking through the windows. And he goes on and talks about the beloved, how beautiful he is. And then it ends with, let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet and your face is lovely.
Yeah.
Yesterday, Julie and I were watching this video of this preacher, and he's talking about this pastor who pastored a tremendously successful church. I don't know if that was meant in man's eye or God's eyes, but, you know, and all of a sudden some kind of disease or something hit his vocal cords, and he could not speak. It was like, nobody talked like this. He had to resign his position, and he had spent his life, you know, at this church or whatever.
Right.
So dejected and defeated, he goes back home, he and his wife go back home, and just sits in the back pew of a big church. And their Bible study, big church, their Bible study was 150 people. And the person that was supposed to do the study that week got sick. And they asked him to do it. He said, I can't do that. I can't do that. I mean, there's no way. People won't even listen to it, you know. This is a live thing where you're listening to him teaching that Sunday. And of course, it was on healing. And about 5 minutes into this thing, mid-sentence, he goes from, the Lord is healing today. And he's healing today. And I mean, his voice got healed in mid-sentence. And he was like, I don't know what to say. I mean, 3 years he was with that severe laryngitis. And I think how many prayers went out.
Right.
3 years. 3 years God prayed and healed him. But he healed him.
Yeah.
And guess what? The way I looked at it is that those 3 years,
right,
an incubation time. I mean, God was doing something probably through him and with him that he may have never been able to do if he had stayed on the route that he was on. You know, it was just interesting. It was just really... almost brought a tear to your eye when he went right in that mid-sentence and started talking normally. It was like, really cool.
You know, that's the thing is when we realize, like that church you just read, My Beloved, Lo, He Comes, you know, when we realize that he is our beloved, but we are also his beloved.
Yes.
And in that first verse I read up there, I don't think you've made it in here yet, but I read it out of the New English Standard Version,
mm-hmm.
And it says, "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of Hosts." And that word for lovely there in the Strong's Concordance means loved, amiable, and the King James says how amiable, you know, which they chose that. But it goes ahead and it says, well beloved and beloved ones, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we love ones. And I think that would have been a better translation.
Yeah, like
you
that.
Know. But, you know, it's really neat when you realize the things that God does. And sometimes we don't understand why we go through things that we go through. And that brother, like you say, 3 years, is that's a great number, you know. And in 3 days I'll do miracles and cures on that third day I'll be perfected, you know. But anyway, you know, when we look at those things, I remember hearing a preacher say one time that he had this big, huge ministry, and he said, you know, it was just, you know, really exploding. I mean, he had so many people coming and things like that. And he said that he was up there and he was taking prayer lines. You know, he said this guy came up and he put an offering in, and he came up for prayer and he and they talked. He introduced himself and he was a minister. And he said when the guy walked away, that the Lord said to him, "Did you see his pants?" He said, "Yes, Lord, I saw his pants." You know, I mean, the Lord's talked to him. He said, "How shiny they were." And he said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Did you see his shoes? You know, how scuffed up they were." He said, "Yes, Lord, I saw them." And he said, and the Lord said to me, "He loves me more than you do."
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know, he's standing there probably in a $500 suit or a $1,000 suit or whatever. You know, he's a big, you know, big-time minister. He said, "I went home. And I cried because I realized I had lost my first love, you know. And it wasn't about how many people I had and all that kind of stuff. It was about, you know, my relationship with God." And he also told a story about this little woman bringing up and putting her Social Security check. He said, I saw her put that in there. He said, and I took it back out. I went over to her and said, I took this back. She said, no, I don't know. Tell me to put that in there. He says, no, no, Tom, you take this back. She says, she started crying and she told him, no, Lord, tell me to put that in here. And he said, the minute she walked away, he said, the Lord spoke to him and said, I'm going to allow millions of dollars to pass through your hands. And I want you to realize this is where it's going to come from.
That's wonderful.
I have a question. So when you're in denial and the Lord's speaking to you and you're in denial, and then, I mean, sometimes we're a little slow. So when the Lord reveals it to you, that time of denial, what do you think's going on there?
Well, what he's wanting you to do is repent and say, Lord, I'm sorry. You know, when you, the thing about it is moving on with the Lord is a learning process continuously. From the day that you first become a Christian, it's a learning process. It's a growing process. You grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. And when you're in denial, then he brings you right up close to the situation as you look at it. Just like, you know, I told you the story of, well, even like that brother there, you know, who knows how puffed up he was or what he thought, or, you know, you don't know. And the Lord shut him down for 3 years, you know, and then opened up an opportunity where he knew he couldn't do it.
Yeah.
He couldn't do it, see. Yeah,
of his own will,
and maybe kind of his own strength and his own ability, he didn't have the ability to do it. But the minute that he stepped forward as God opened the door, guess what? The miracle happens, you know. And just like the guy with where the minister came up and asked for prayer, and he had nothing, you know. And this guy had a huge ministry and had probably fine cars and everything else. And then what does the Lord do? He hasn't really observed the guy. And then he tells him he loves him more than you do. And then, you know, God has a way of getting down under the surface with you. He has a way of bringing you down into real reality, that it's really all about him. And not really about you, you know.
And it's I'm sorry.
You know, it's about relationship, your relationship with it.
In the beginning of denial, you don't even know that you're in denial.
Right.
Okay? And that's what
you're
saying.
You're going about your business, and
right.
You may not even know you're in denial.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, God's going to say, okay, you're in denial.
Right.
Then it's what are you going to do with it?
Right. Everything
remain in denial or repent.
Right.
But once you acknowledge that the Lord is
right.
Said to you, you're in denial, and you repent and you change your direction so you're not in denial, then
right.
It's time to thank him and praise him and just right. Really give him the glory, because trust me, if you are in denial, you want to get out.
Yeah, I just think that sometimes I'm a little slower than everybody else.
Well, you're really not. You're really not.
You know, but we're all at our, you know, spiritual growth at a different level. It's kind of like the meat, the milk, and the whatever. I was trying to have this conversation with Dennis last night. I'm like, oh my goodness, I can't even explain it to you. You're so in it sometimes. It's hard to explain it to people. And then I'm thinking, well, maybe because I'm not very faithful, and they're talking, you know, I'm reading about Leviticus and about everything has to be in a certain strength and this and that, and everything has to be perfect. I'm like, oh my goodness, thank goodness the New Testament came. Thank goodness Jesus Christ came. Because there is absolutely no way. You had to do this, you had to do that. No, but if you did that, then you had to have a goat, and a goat had to be burnt and separated, and no, if it wasn't a goat, it had to be this. And I'm like, oh my goodness, you've got to be kidding. Like, and trying to explain something to someone, sometimes I think we feel like we're, okay, well, maybe I'm not being very faithful and trying to, you know, and it's hard. And I'm like, okay, Lord, please give him the Holy Spirit that he may understand someday, you know, because
well,
it's hard to explain.
The thing about it is that to be honest with you. Most people who even have the ability to explain things, you didn't always have that ability in the Lord. That's something God has to give you. I mean, you know, when I first got saved, I got into the sonship message and a whole bunch of things like that right off the bat. I didn't have to go through a lot of the courts out there that a lot of other people went through, and I thank God that I didn't, you know. But the main reason I think I didn't have to do that was because I got saved at home. I wasn't in a church. I wasn't being fed all kinds of doctrine and all kinds of, you know, you got to do this and you can't do that and you got to do something else. And for about the first maybe 3 or 4 months that I gave my life to the Lord, I didn't do anything but look at, read the Bible, close it, and say, God, I don't know what in the world I just read. I don't, you have to teach me. You have to guide me. You have to lead me. I don't understand this.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you what, He is a loving Father. And it's like if one of your kids would come to you or a little kid would come to you and say, I don't understand math, you know. And you say, well, you know, math's really pretty simple. If I have an apple here and an apple here, and I give them both to you, how many apples do you have? You say, well, I have two. Well, that's what, 1 + 1 = 2, you know. And you would break it down and get it on the simplest terms you could. Guess what? When you confess to the Lord that you don't know things, then it's His responsibility. He sent the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you into all truth. That's like Dennis. I'll be honest with you. You can't teach Dennis. You can't.
Right.
God in you can if God so directs you to do that. But even like what Rich was saying about denial, look at the stories that God has in the Old Testament. They were given for examples to us. Look at Jonah. You know, Jonah, God told him to go to Nineveh.
Right.
He didn't want to go to Nineveh. He didn't want to do it. And he convinced himself that he could go in the other direction. And he did go in the other direction.
Yeah.
And then, guess what? God spits him up on the shore of Nineveh. Well, that's okay. Well, then he goes ahead and he preaches repentance to the people. And what happens when he preaches repentance? What does he say?
I knew
you'd do this, God. You said you told me to tell me you were going to destroy Nineveh. I knew it. I knew that you'd have mercy on me. Well, guess what? He knew it. Down in his heart, there was something that told him God was a merciful God. See, he knew it. But yet he was so bullheaded, he wanted to complain to God about it. See, well, we all have some of that. You know.
Yes, we do.
One thing you don't want to do, but trust me from experience, is get frustrated. Whatever God's doing with him, let him do it. You know, leave him alone.
Yeah.
Have fellowship where you feel that there can be fellowship.
Right.
But from that point on, don't get frustrated. Don't, you know, why isn't he getting this? What's wrong with him? You know.
No, it's just hard because I'm thinking maybe I'm not being faithful and it's not very easy. I'm not a teacher. I just read and I apply.
But God will give you everything you need at the time you need it.
There you go.
So you are a teacher. You are ministry. You are all those things. So don't look at yourself as less than that, because as a daughter, son of God, you've got it all.
That's right.
So just, you know, listen for that voice and just do what he tells you to do. So.
Right. Thank you.
And let me tell you, not everybody is called in the same call.
Right.
There's people who are really called to delve into the Word and really get into the Word and really break it down. And then there's people who are not called to do that. But God will use them in some other way. You know, me and Margaret's had conversations over the years. I don't try to sit down and teach Margaret. I didn't try to sit down and teach Mark and them a lot. Because I realized that the Holy Spirit had to be the teacher. Now, what happened, like, even when Mark started really getting committed to the Lord, he committed his life to the Lord when he was a little boy. I didn't sit down and have Bible studies with him at home all the time. Because I felt like, you know what? God, you taught me, you can teach him. And he did. And I'll tell you this, when we were working together, when he started really getting committed to the Lord again, I mean really committed, deeply, he would come and say things to me, and he'd say, you know, Dad, he'd say, the Lord's dealing with me about this. And you know what I had to do sometimes? Go. Because I didn't want him to get it from Dad. I wanted him to get it from the Lord. And then he'd start telling me the things that God was showing him. And it was the same things God had shown me years earlier, you know. And I could have said, well, yeah, this and this and this and this. But see, that wasn't the time for him to receive that. And that's sometimes that's the hardest thing to understand. And that's like I was saying concerning Margaret. Margaret has such a loving heart. And such a giving heart. You don't know how many times she cries over people and is concerned about, you know, things like that. But, see, that's part of her ministry. That's the ministry she has, a ministry of helps and a ministry of being concerned about other people and doing things for people sometimes above and beyond what she should do. You know, she does that a lot. You know, I've told her different times about tapes. She'll stand in there and make CDs for people and not eat lunch because we're out there eating lunch. Because they ask her, can't I have that today? She'll go ahead and do that for them, you know. You know, and I told her, you should tell me you can have them next week.
Right.
But she won't. She'll do it. But see, that's part of her type ministry. She's that kind of a person, you know. And, you know, it. But see, we all have a different aspect, you know.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And the person that I would have figured would have been least likely to be a teacher would have been me. I would have never thought I should be a teacher. But yet, that was the ministry God laid on me, partially, was to teach. And, I mean, I'd see people who were English teachers sitting out in the church years ago, and I think, God, they'd be up here, much better up here, explaining words than me. My vocabulary is not the greatest in the world. But see, he chooses the foolish to confound the wise. You can't get too puffed up in God. If you do, I tell you, he's got some big pins. He knows right how to stick them in and let the air out. You can't get too puffed up. And, you know, I had the Lord reveal things to me that I didn't hear for years and years from anybody else, you know, until... You know, I mean, when I first got saved, God started talking to me about the sovereignty of God. I didn't hear nobody preaching the sovereignty of God. And when I would say things, I had Christian people who had been Christians for a long time saying, you can't mean that. I'd say, well, yeah, I do. The Word says it. He says it right here. I work all things after the counsel of my own will, you know. You can't mean that. I'd say, yeah, I do. You know. But, you know, it's one of those things. With Dennis, loving, if he asks you something and you feel like the Lord wants you to answer it, just ask the Lord, should I answer? Should I give him an answer? What is he answering? Because God might have you say something that you didn't even know you knew. You know.
Wasn't Dennis raised Catholic?
Yeah.
I think a lot of times the Lord needs to break down our preconceived religious ideas before he can really speak the truth to your heart. And that's a hard thing coming sometimes.
Oh, yeah, I think he's already questioning it, so.
Yeah.
Well, Jim,
which is good.
Jim was Catholic. He was raised Catholic.
I told him, I said, I think a lot of the men that are in our church are converted.
Kathy was Catholic. And they're still Catholic. You know what the word Catholic means?
Universal.
They believe in the universal church of Jesus Christ. They're just not Roman Catholic. Mm-hmm. That's the only difference.
The Pope is my head.
That's right. Jesus is. That's right.
Right. Well, he was just questioning about, like, almost every religion out there is believe in, like, Mary or the whatever. I'm like, and it says right there that God says, I'm a jealous God. I only want, I'm like, you shouldn't even be delving into that. And he goes, well, it's just kind of interesting what he's been listening to, that questions him sometimes.
Well, see, even good. The questions that he's asking there is good.
It's good. It
because
is good.
Because he's questioning the things that he was taught from the time he was a little kid.
Right, trying to explain the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I said, kind of like what you explained to me. He said, you don't know what you're talking about. Right, okay. Then here it comes months later. You know what? I'm sorry. You're right. It was explained to me a different way. Blah, 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 whatever. Great. I don't want to take credit. I want him to take credit. You know, but it's just, it's a little hard sometimes. And I'm thinking, okay, well, help me to be faithful so I can explain that. If that's what the...
Well, that's the thing is just ask the Lord, what would you have me do in the situation? And
sometimes it's nothing.
A big part of the time it's nothing. And a big part of the time, there's a part of you that if you know something, you think, oh man, I gotta tell him. Well, no, you don't.
Right.
You only have to tell him if God's telling you to tell him. Because, you know, I had a young person in the church one time. I think Kevin was talking to me at one of the functions that we were having, you know, like a, I think it was over at Debbie's house, we were having some kind of harvest party or something, I don't remember, when you guys lived over, over there. I had a young lady come and started talking to me. As we were talking, she was asking some things and I started sharing some things. And she says, why have I never heard this before? And I'm thinking, well, I preached that there. But see, you have to have ears to hear. And God's the only one that can give you ears to hear what the Spirit's saying. And we even need to ask the Lord ourselves, Lord, give me ears to hear what your Spirit's saying to me today. And if you do that, then you'll know exactly what you're supposed to say when you're supposed to say.
There you go.
And
you said you were hearing things from God that you never heard anyone else say.
Yeah.
Do you still have any secrets that you want to share with them today?
No.
Oh, it's the that you want to share with us today.
I'll be honest with you. That, you know, like I say, God spoke to me about the sovereignty of God. He showed me that. And I had situations, and I've shared this before, I had situations where when I got saved, I worked in a company, a big company in Milburn back years ago, and I didn't tell people I got saved, but the word got around, and I had people from Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, about four or five different denominations stop by where my machine was working. Say, oh, I got saved. Well, instead of, God bless you, brother, I'll be praying for you, it was, well, watch out for the Pentecostals, because they'll tell you this, and then watch out for that. And it was a bunch of, you know, and one guy that broke me in when I first started out there that taught me how to do what I was doing, he basically come home and started telling me all this stuff one day. And I just told him, I said, you know, I said, I don't know about all that. But I just sort of feel like this, and I started telling him some things. He said, well, you know what you just said? That's in the book of James. I had never read the book of James yet. But see, that's the thing about the Holy Spirit that dwells inside of you. That's the teacher. Mm-hmm. And any time that anybody gets up in there and ministers to you out here, it should witness to the Holy Spirit inside of you. It's to lead and guide you into all truth. And it's not that they're smarter than anybody else, or because, like I say, God chooses the foolish. So I figured I must be pretty foolish, the things he's shown me over the years, because he's definitely shown me some things. But I must be pretty foolish in the natural. And he's chose the weak to bring down the strong, see. But it's strong in themselves, see.
Right.
And what does Scripture tell us? That the weak say what?
I am strong.
Well, why are you strong? You're strong in the Lord. You're not strong in yourself. You're weak. But you're strong in Him. Praise God. But anyway, I guess we probably need to get into this discussion today. Praise the Lord. Kathy, close the book for us.
Father, we just don't even have the words to say thank you.
Yes.
You are so mighty, so glorious. We just love to sit at your feet and to hear the words that you say to us. We want so much to grow up completely right into you and to be the full-grown sons and daughters that you would have us to be. It's our heart desire, Lord, and we want these things more than life on earth. Father, we ask you to bless the service that's ahead, to bless all of our brothers and sisters here in this building, here in this land, and here on this earth. In Jesus' name, amen.